Hey guys, this is Christiani Pitts.
Hey, I'm Crystalyn Lloyd.
Hey, this is Michaela Brewster.
Hey, I'm Stevie Coleman, and you're listening to the Call and Response Podcast.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Call and Response with Felicia Fitzpatrick. And y'all, Valentine's Day is in a week. Like, it is right around the corner. So if you're trying to make plans with your boo or do a Galentine's Day situation with your friends, or if you're just self-partnered and want to treat yourself, you know that Gold Star has got your back because it has so many activities for a wide range of interests at affordable prices. And so we know you like theater. I mean, you're listening to this podcast. So you could check out Emoji Land, The Inheritance, or Miss America's Ugly Daughter, which are all featured on Gold Star this week. Or if you're looking for something a little more experiential, something adventurous, check out Jump Into the Light, where you're going to be interacting with virtual reality, or even Color Factory, which is very immersive as well. And as y'all know, that is just the beginning with Gold Star. They provide affordable tickets to theater, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So download Gold Star, and let's make some memories, y'all. And I know, every week, I'm like, I'm so hyped, I'm so thrilled, I'm so excited. And that is still true. This week, I am genuinely so hyped, so thrilled, and excited to introduce this week's guest because, one, it is the first official full week of Black History Month, y'all. So let's get lit. And two, I genuinely believe that this woman is going to be running Broadway in a matter of years, and she will probably be my boss very soon. And so I'm just glad I'm getting on her good side now. It's Stevie Coleman, and she is an account executive at Spotco, which, if you don't know by name, is one of the Broadway ad agencies we have here in New York City. They work on so many different campaigns for Beetlejuice, West Side Story. There's so many different shows that you could name that they have worked on. And I'm really excited to pick her brain today because I think we don't talk about representation and inclusion in the ad marketing arts admin world enough. So I'm like, you know what? Let's talk about it. So without further ado, my extra ass intro, it's Stevie Coleman, y'all.
That was something.
I know.
Truly, that was something. I loved it. I loved every second of it. Do you know what I want? I want that, and I want to play it for when I wake up in the morning.
Oh,
every
yeah.
morning.
Like a hype intro for the day.
Truly.
I should sell that. That's cute.
Do it.
I do believe you're a rising star. I really do. Because you're such a joy to be around and you're brilliant and you're doing the damn thing. So I'm excited to talk to you today.
You're too good to me.
y'all, I also learned today she's a Virgo and you know how I feel about earth signs, my fellow earth signs. So we're going to get into it. But of course, to begin, to kick us off, I want to know how you got involved with the performing arts.
In all earnest, I started with dance, which
we love it.
Is so fun.
Yes.
My mom noticed at a very young age that I loved to dance, loved to move around, but I had absolutely no rhythm. Sad. So she put me in ballet and jazz, tap and hip hop classes, and I did that for about 2 or 3 years. This was still when I was in elementary school, so okay. I was pretty young.
Yeah.
And it was just so wonderful for me. And then in high school, I took dance as an elective course. We had that option. I took that for 3 years. And then outside of that, I took a couple of like lyrical classes with one of my best friends.
And did you learn rhythm?
I definitely have rhythm.
Okay.
I'm on the ones and threes.
Oh, fun. That's
right?
Fun.
Yeah, that's the right one.
Uh-huh. We just mixed it up a little.
Is that the right one?
No.
The twos and fours?
Yeah.
Okay, well. Jeez. I have rhythm now. I'm not on the ones and threes. I lied. and I will say, I can clap on a beat. I just wish I don't have the subtle grace of a person that has had as many dance classes as I've had.
I see.
It's unfortunate, but it's the truth. Yeah. It's my truth, and I live it.
I appreciate you living your truth like that.
Yes, but do you want to hear my full performing arts resume? Cause it's quite extensive.
You have it with you.
I do.
Hashtag Virgo. Yes,
here
let's
we
see
go.
It.
So my career began before dance classes. I was in a 3-person production of The Cheetah Girls. I was Dorinda. It debuted and closed in my childhood bedroom. Rave reviews.
Yo, I am losing it right now.
I achieved my directing and producing careers. I co-starred in a series of variety shows that I forced my younger cousin to be a part of. In my living room, we did not recoup, unfortunately, but we had a very successful run, in my opinion.
Oh my God, this is amazing. Uh-huh.
I then took my I took my acting chops to the real world for the first time. In my church's play about the birth of Jesus,
okay.
I was Mary.
Come on, Mary.
And when I say I walked out with that fake pregnant stomach, not a dry eye in the house. The people were living.
You were committed.
Honestly.
Yeah.
People loved it. People were coming up to me. I couldn't get rid of the fans.
Right. You needed like your own bodyguard.
Yes. My additional credits. There was one time I sang a two-verse solo at a school chorus concert.
Whoa.
To which afterwards one of the other children came up to me and said that I was the second best soloist. There were only three of us. So I guess that was a compliment. So there's that. And I stage managed a children's Easter show at my church when I was older. And only one kid tried to walk away in the middle of a song.
Wow.
Which is like such a victory. If you know how children are in performances,
you
never know what to expect.
Yeah,
some kids cry. Some kids just sit down. You don't know what they're going to do. So only having one kid try to walk away.
Amazing.
I ran the show.
A plus work. So first of all, I'm obsessed with you. Second of all, I don't know how we're going to get through this interview. Third of all, I'm so curious, like, how did the switch to marketing happen then when you had such an illustrious performance career?
Well, that all happened in college.
College?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't think about marketing really until college. And fun fact, I went to college to be a psychology major.
Oh.
And I thought I was going to be a psychologist and I was going to have to go to grad school and all of that.
Huh.
And in the middle of it, I was like, well, is this what I'm really passionate about? Is this really what I want to do for the rest of my days? And I kept my psychology degree, but I was like, I don't know. I've always kind of wanted to work in entertainment and be a part of that world. But as I told you, not very good. Couldn't sing, couldn't dance.
Right, right.
So it wasn't going to be that way. And I was like, maybe I'll be a publicist. Like, I'm pretty sure I saw that on like a TV show or something.
Sure.
I was like, maybe I'll be a publicist.
Sure.
So I went to UNC Chapel Hill. We had a school of journalism, and I took intro to ad and PR, and that's when I learned about this whole sort of world, and I was like, okay. And then I had to choose a major, and I am a very indecisive person. It is one of my flaws that I'm just so indecisive, I can't choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I chose strategic communications, which is, it looks at public relations, advertising, and marketing because mm-hmm. I was like, I can't choose one of these. What if I change my mind later?
Yeah.
So I went with that, and I still wasn't sure where in entertainment I wanted to work or if I even wanted to be a publicist anymore, but I knew I had the tools to do that if that's what I chose.
Yeah.
So I went on to graduate with my psychology degree, my strategic communications degree, and during my time in college, that is when I was like, Broadway.
Wow. Well, I'm fascinated by this because psychology, marketing, publicity, I feel like that's all very intertwined.
Oh, yeah. It benefits me to know how people think, to know what captures the human mind. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm not necessarily on the creative side to be like, this color is what makes people turn their heads. But, like,
right.
to know how people respond to things and to understand a thought process,
mm-hmm.
especially when it comes to people's willingness to purchase things.
Right.
It endlessly helpful.
So you went to school in North Carolina and you grew up in North Carolina.
Correct.
You were performing and stuff, but were you aware of Broadway as like a career path at that time?
Not really. And Broadway as a whole, it was here and there. I always say there were like little seeds along the way that kind of guided me to Broadway.
Okay.
So I think it started with like Disney, obviously.
Shout out. Yeah.
The Lion King and like Aladdin and Little Mermaid. And even like moving into like live action, or not live action, High School Musical, whatever that is, Cheetah Girls. Idea of like story as vehicle and people expressing themselves through song. Like, I didn't think that was weird. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's two other stories that I feel like really linked me to Broadway. One was, like I said, I danced when I was younger. And if you know anything about dance recitals, they go on literally all day.
Oh, for real.
And because I was in so many different genres of dance, it was an all day thing. Like, we got there early in the morning for ballet, and hip hop wasn't until like nighttime.
Yeah.
And everything else is in between. And then another thing about recitals is that there is never enough space to hold everyone backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at least where I was. And so they would have about, the next four groups were backstage, but if you weren't dancing and you weren't like immediately next, you were probably sitting in the audience.
Okay.
So I remember, and I was waiting and waiting around, I was probably about 9 or 10, and we were waiting, and the props people started rolling out these like bars, and the lights were red. And I was like, what's going on? I looked down at the program, and there was this thing called Cell Block Tango. And I'm like, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah.
And it was like a lot of the teachers, they were doing their rendition of Cell Block Tango.
Yes.
My interest was just immediately piqued. I couldn't keep my eyes off of them, like arrested by this performance. No pun intended. and I couldn't even believe, like, obviously with dance, we like try to tell stories with like throughout the movements and the songs. But this was a literal like, the story is being told, and it's just this big theatrical number. And like I said, I was 9 or 10, never been in a relationship, never been married, but they had me convinced he had it coming. I was just completely enamored
mm-hmm.
by it. So that's one. And then my second, I used to spend a lot of summers with my cousins and my aunt, and I don't know where this DVD came from.
Okay.
I don't know how it fell into our lives, but we had the movie version of Rent.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And what a game changer. My aunt, One Song Glory, that was her jam. Shout out to my Andrina.
Yes.
She loved One Song Glory.
Really?
I remember the scratches on the back of the DVD.
Ooh.
She tried to teach us the harmonies to Season of Love.
Uh-huh.
We, like, my cousin and I knew nothing of the AIDS crisis, but we were singing La Vie Boheme.
Right.
It was a whole ordeal, and it was so, so wonderful. And we went on to get other, we had like Hairspray, we had Dreamgirls, all the movie versions. So I think my biggest connections to Broadway at that point was just the movie musicals, because again, I grew up in Fayetteville, North Carolina, big military town. So we didn't even, at least where I was, we didn't even have like touring companies.
Right.
So that wasn't really a thing for me. It was just, we had these movie musicals, and they were cast albums and things. So that was my introduction to theater. That was my education.
I love to hear you say that, though, because for so many people who don't grow up in New York City, who don't live in New York City, we don't have access to the live theater components unless it's like at a dance recital or something like that,
right,
or at a county fair. And I feel like cast albums and movie musicals, which a lot of people turn their noses up at, it's like, no, that was the accessibility we had to Broadway at the time.
It was the only thing. It was the closest I was going to get to anyone performing any of those songs.
Yeah. And I feel like that influences you, and we will get into it. But like, as someone who's now marketing these shows, like, we have to talk about Beetlejuice at some point. But like, the fact that that has exploded on TikTok, and like, there's all these kids in like Kentucky and Arizona that are doing that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think
it's
that
so fascinating to me.
It's so exciting being a part of those shows. And one of my favorite parts is always when the cast album comes out, because it is the thing that one of the things that lives on beyond the show, but also just a way to share the show with people who aren't here, who aren't going to be here, or what have you. It's such an amazing little piece of the show that if you watch the show, you get to walk away with it. But if you never see the show, you know the songs, you know the like the feelings that you get from them.
Right.
It's just so awesome.
No, it's so true. The like my like go-to anecdote about cast albums is always like Beauty and the Beast, because I would go home after high school, perform the whole thing to myself in my mirror, like with props, like I had a basket and the books, and like then it would transition to the Beast. It was great. We also did not recoup on that performance, but it was great.
I mean, most passion, of us don't. Most
you know.
Of us don't.
But it is such a way to access Broadway. But I want to know. So you found your way to marketing and psychology and strategic communications in college. I want to hear about your transition to New York and finding Spotco.
Yeah.
Was that your first job outside of college?
It was.
Yes, ma'am, it was. Look at her killing it, y'all. Yeah, that's amazing.
So I was in my junior year. And that was when I was, again, making the transition into marketing and entertainment. And I didn't really have my sights set on any specific facet. I was like, I could go into movies, music, TV, okay, whatever. Okay. And I worked in a box office for Carolina Performing Arts. And my way back into Broadway definitely was Hamilton. But I had a coworker who constantly talked about Hamilton and about Broadway and things. And so she was like, you know, this company, Spotco, I would love to work for them. They did the artwork for Hamilton. And so I remember getting on their website. It was definitely my junior year because that's when I was looking for internships. I remember getting on their website and just blown away by everything that they had ever worked on, everything they were currently working on. It blew my mind. And I remember from the moment I looked at it, I was like, I have to work here.
Wow.
I don't know what it's going to take, but I have to work here. And I was like sending the emails, and I remember getting on LinkedIn because this was something that I had heard of other people doing, and I had a teacher who sort of taught us how to utilize LinkedIn when looking for jobs. And I started looking up the company, and I found a woman who had graduated from my college. Mm-hmm. That was my only tie to her.
Mm-hmm.
I sent her a message, and I was basically like, hey, I would love to know more about your job, like your role at Spotco, everything that happens in terms of like Broadway and advertising. I just want to know more. Go Heels, which is like our school thing.
Yeah.
Like Stevie Coleman. And that was it. Wow. And I sent it. And it was really funny because she was on maternity leave. So like she didn't get back to me for a little bit. And I was like, well, that just went right into the ether and never to be seen again.
Dang.
She got back to me, and I was already coming to New York for a different internship.
Mm-hmm.
And we met up once because she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like back from maternity leave. I would love to talk to you. All these other things. And so I met up with her. My first time at the Spotco offices, which if you guys have never been there, like hit me up. I'll give you a tour. So cute.
Okay. Yeah, y'all should take her up on that.
So cute.
It is so cute. I love your office.
So I went by. We just had a little chat. We talked about psychology because she was also in the psychology program at UNC.
Okay.
And we just talked about Broadway and what she does or what she did at the time. She was very heavily involved in our research and analytics. She's now one of our co-managing directors.
Okay.
Hashtag girl power. It's great.
Yes.
And so we just had a little conversation, and you know, I don't know what their internship program looked like then, and I don't think they had any interns at the time. But I already had this like part-time internship, and I was like, well, if nothing comes from this, I'm glad I was able to make this contact.
Yeah.
And then she emailed me, and she was like, it looks like we'll be able to like have you on as an intern. It was the most non-traditional thing you've ever heard, but it was so wonderful. And I basically kind of like shadowed her for just like a couple of days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And she would set me up with these meetings with different people who were a part of Spotco. And I would get to learn how media planning works and like what it means to be a part of the accounts team.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so wonderful.
Good.
To have like someone like take a chance on me in that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I reached out. It was Spotco from the beginning. And even after my very little like internship there, I was like, I have to come back here. I have to come back here full time, and I can't be anywhere else.
So I love that story. What about that internship time clicked of like, this is for me?
I think it came from being exposed to it all, seeing, I mean, not at all, not all the deep things about the day-to-day, but just being, it felt like I was in the room where it happened, even though I wasn't.
Yeah,
like,
no,
just
totally.
Being in the building, being in the office,
totally.
Where things, very important things were happening in terms of Broadway, and it was very clear to me early on that this was a place where, like, it was just their huge things were happening. The kinds of campaigns they were running and the kinds of ways that they were marketing and the research that went behind all of it, like the strategy is just, it was so brilliant to me. Yeah. And I was like, these people are doing Broadway, but it is to this extreme level that I definitely want to be a part of. Like, I want to jump on this ship before it's too late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just love knowing that you were into movie musicals, because I think back to, like, I saw Hairspray at the movie theaters, and, like, the way they were able to use colors, and, like, I think, like, psychology of colors is a real thing that they
used
in that. It
definitely is.
Like,
can confirm.
Well, I know that is, like, a theory, an ideology, a philosophy. I don't know, but I'm just saying, like, the way they used it, like, really, it was so cohesive in terms of how it conveyed, like, the 60s bubblegum pop stuff. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you getting to learn how that all works, just like, oh my god, it must have been so exciting for young baby Stevie.
What a time.
So for those who don't know really what an ad agency does, Spotco, and there's several others in the industry, y'all are a full service agency.
Full service ad agency.
So what all kind of could you possibly cover for a Broadway show?
Sure. I mean, we do it all, and the biggest thing is that it is brand creating through and through. I like to think about it like you're going shopping, like you're just pushing your little shopping cart. And I think on a base level, there is the traditional advertising. There's print, there's TV, there's outdoor, there's all of that. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, if you want a little extra, if you want our social, there's that. If you want our partnerships, they're really good. Sprinkle some of that on and we can do your like ticket analysis for you. There's that.
I didn't know
so
that.
It really runs the gamut, and just top to bottom. Yeah. And anything you want, we're there.
And how does your role play into all of that? Like, where do you sit within all of this?
Yeah, so like you said, I'm an account exec. I like to think of my role as a support role. So above me are my project managers and my account managers, who are also wonderful. And the team is led by the account directors.
Okay.
And I really have a support role in terms of, I have my own responsibilities, schedule the meetings, book the New York Times ABCs. Like, there just are certain things that I'm responsible for. But any day can look like anything, because supporting my team can really look like a number of things.
Right.
I once had an account director compare the job to being like a stage manager, which I think is absolutely true. Mm. I am like a communication hub for the whole team, not just accounts, but like if a partnerships person needs to know something, or a ticketing person needs to know something, or a social person, I need to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And I need to be able to relay that information. Notes from the meeting. It's like notes from any, like a rehearsal or something. Like, I need to be able to give these people the information that they need.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm telling you, these meetings feel like full-on productions. And so, like, sometimes I'm in, like, the back corner. Like, I'm calling the show because, like, we all need to have on our best face in front of the client, and we need to be presenting things in the way that we really mean for them to come across. And if that means, like, learning how to do a new thing, or making sure that the audio levels are correct because we're about to play this video. Like, it is just making sure that the show is running.
Wow.
And I really do love it. It's a fun catch-all. Like, it's a good little, like, safety net under the accounts team that I really love being.
This makes sense that you're Virgo, because, like, I'm so proud of you, because I'm like, what you just described sounds so stressful. But you mentioned clients. So when you say you have a client, who is that in terms of the Broadway ecosystem?
Sure. Producers.
The producers.
Yeah.
And then who would be a vendor for you guys in terms of the Broadway ecosystem?
So, Playbill, the New York Times, just people that we work with in order to get things out into the world.
To get your messages out into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm loving all this, and I feel like I'm learning a lot, honestly. So how would you break down the process of a Broadway marketing ad campaign?
Here we go.
Let's break it down, girl.
Yeah, so it starts with the pitch, and it's something that, I mean, all agencies do. There's a new show. You pitch the show, which means you create a presentation that showcases what you could do for this show.
Okay.
So you just bring that in front of producers who are working on the show. Once we get the show, we start the key art development process. And that is just creating the look and the feel of the show.
Mm-hmm.
From there, if a show already has a theater, then I think the biggest thing is sort of working towards opening night. Or not even opening night. even as soon as like previews, first preview, because you want to increase ticket sales as much as you can and try to get people talking. So you're definitely trying to push awareness. And then once first preview starts and then opening night, it's kind of about advertising the show and trying to sell the show based on reviews or based on audience response, just to really get word of mouth up. Like, word of mouth is such a huge part of advertising.
Yeah.
And then I feel like the timeline is just kind of, the whole process just is so different depending on where the show is. If it's about to go through award season, that's a whole thing. If it's in its second or third year of life, that's a whole, like, you might want to refresh the art. So I think from then the process can kind of spiral into its own thing.
Yeah. Well, and I love, that's a really good point too, in terms of like the timing of it, because I know we keep going back to Beetlejuice, but I just like really love that show. And I know you love that show too.
I love the show so much.
But that was the last opening of the 2018-2019 Broadway season. Mm-hmm. It was the last opening before the cutoff. So you guys immediately went into Tony time.
Yeah.
And first of all, I don't know if Alex Brightman listens to this podcast, but the way he was able to like change the lyrics to that opening song that he did on the Today Show and like the Tony Awards was insane. And now it's like, I've been running for a while. So then you guys started doing the different like the Playbill covers that were different. Like, you had these different angles based on the timing of the show being on Broadway.
Yeah.
You know, which I thought was super cool. But in terms of your job or your personal preference, like, what is your favorite part of that process?
I am a big fan of the key art development process.
Okay, yes.
It is just, it's so cool. So there are tons of art options and taglines and blurbs, all kinds of things that we bring into the room. And that whole sort of presentation is really just an exercise in like creating a brand, creating the look, creating the feel, creating the voice of a show.
Yeah.
I love it because I get to geek out over our really amazing creatives who are just so brilliant, and just the executions that you see up on the wall are so amazing. Like, they've usually got about three or four concepts in mind, and it is just so, and by concepts I mean like just general concepts. There's about 14 options on the wall.
Wow.
There are just so many options, and they're all, I really just, the people on that are creatives are just fantastic. Like, our designers and our creative directors and our copywriters and every, like, chef's kiss.
Yes.
It's so good. Another thing, I just love creative work.
Yes. Y'all, she is beaming right now. You can't see, but she's beaming.
It's just so great. So I feel like our creatives don't go into the process thinking, oh, what is going to be the most, like, the biggest symbol on Broadway, or like, living on for years, are going to be recognized globally. That's not where they start. It is very much in the heart of the show. They've either read a script or seen a workshop or something. It is very much to the feeling of the show,
okay,
which I think is the best and only way to approach creating art for a show. But what's really cool is when that does happen, when a show does become iconic. Like, The Shape of a Star is not the same because it's Hamilton now.
Yeah.
And it was really amazing. One of our designers downstairs, her name is Nikki. That's her.
Wow.
She did that.
Yeah. And you're like,
bless.
You know her.
And I get to talk to her, and she's so great. But like, that is such an iconic thing. And even no matter what happens to Hamilton in the next like 20 or 50 years, like, that is still going to, that art is always going to live on. Or like Blue Stripes, it's Dear Evan Hansen through and through. So just the symbol that becomes, and you have no idea when you're staring at the key art that gets chosen, you have no idea that that's going to be this big iconic symbol, but it does. And that's so cool. It's another little piece of the show that I feel like lives on beyond a show that opens or closes. It's the art.
Yeah. So I love your passion, first of all. This is amazing. And so I want to know, what is the favorite or the best, or like, what's the campaign that you've worked on that has like resonated with you hardcore?
Yeah. So we're going to take it back.
Let's
to
take
Beetlejuice.
It back. Yes, Beetlejuice.
Not back, just back to Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm.
We did, for every day in the month of October, we celebrated. Celebrate October every day-o with Beetlejuice.
Yes, day-o.
I loved that whole thing so much. Every single part of that team was activated and just on for 31 whole days. I've never been more impressed with a group of people. I loved sitting in brainstorms and just being a part of watching the ideas be like spit out, and the ones that actually like came to fruition, the ones that didn't, the like funny jokes that ended up and the ones that didn't.
Yeah.
So many ideas just every day. And if you don't know what this is, every day for the month of October, we had a different thing going on that involved the show. It was either like a social activation through partnerships. We had brands releasing exclusive product.
Yeah, it was dope.
We did costume contests, which I actually helped with one of them. And it was just so amazing to see like this ad agency that I'm a part of really going above and beyond for this show and just really engaging the fans that surround Beetlejuice in such an amazing way. Every single day, literally every single day, something was happening, and it was absolutely incredible.
We had to take a moment to talk about the explosion on TikTok, because y'all, I am old. I don't get TikTok, but all I know is that I had to start paying attention to it because Beetlejuice is popping off on it. Like, were you guys working with Warner Bros? Like, can you speak to how that happened?
TikTok is so wild to me.
It's
I downloaded TikTok just to keep up with what was going on with Beetlejuice. And we were all, I think, at the same time trying to learn, like, what is this thing? And now I'm addicted to TikTok.
Okay. I gotta get on it, y'all.
I'm a 23-year-old person who has learned way too many TikTok dances, like a shameful amount of TikTok dances.
I know Renegade.
Can we do it? Can
Clap.
We?
Got,
after this, we gotta do it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But no, TikTok was really crazy. We talked about how the cast albums and sharing that with people who aren't maybe in the area.
Right.
But I think TikTok was one of those things where we really got to see, like, okay, you're not near the show, but you are celebrating the show and its music. And people who didn't even know what the show was were using sounds. Like, they didn't know what these songs were. They didn't realize they were a part of a musical.
Oh, interesting.
But they were still using them because they were interesting and they felt like the vibe of TikTok.
We
just caught wind of what was going on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And so that is when we were able to sort of jump on and be like, yeah, let's be a part of it. And not in a way of like, let's steer the conversation, but let's provide more content for you all to be able to do your thing. Like, you guys keep making the good content and we're just going to like keep trying to provide what it is you need to be everything you can be on TikTok, which is a lot.
It is a lot. It's like Vine and Musical.ly and like, I don't even know what, but at your encouragement, I will continue to explore it.
So I'll share TikToks with you.
Please.
They're so funny.
Please. And so then, do you have a favorite Broadway ad campaign of all time?
I do.
Oh, she ready, y'all.
It's another Spotco one.
Shout out to Spotco.
It is, drum roll, Rent.
Yes, Rent.
Rent, the campaign behind Rent is the one that put Spotco on the map.
Okay.
Back in, what was it, 96, 97?
Yeah, 96, yeah.
When I started at Spotco, we have this book, and it's a book, and it's about all of basically our campaigns. I think it's like called On Broadway, From Rent to Revolution, something
like
that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
And it starts with Rent, and it was such an interesting thing because what they chose to do, it wasn't show busy, it wasn't glitzy, it was these rough and tumble like photographs, and it was this like hard edge logo, and like their first New York Times ad literally was like the logo that looks like something you would like spray paint through, and it was on white, and it was like very small text about like where you could get tickets, and it just drew people in, like you fill it in, figure out what we are, and like it was a bold confidence to be coming out with something like that.
Right.
Also, the first Broadway show to ever advertise in subway cars, like they were everywhere because they wanted people to know what this show was. And the thing that I love about it, that is just the genius of the strategy, but from a creative standpoint, it didn't try to be like any other Broadway campaign. It really, really took guts to try to break the mold of what Broadway advertising looked like. And they said, we are this unique show, the unmusical, as it's been called, that is about X, Y, and Z. And so if we're going to reach those people, they're not going to be pulled in by like flashing lights and Broadway glitter. It's this is what's real. We need to look at this, like, these are real people. These are photographs of real people. I admire that campaign, and I feel like it started to change the way that people thought about what Broadway advertising could be. And that's one reason why I absolutely love Spotco, is because I feel like they're constantly pushing the boundaries of what Broadway advertising can be, what it can look like, you know, and what it means to, like, put aside the advertising goal for a second. What does this show look like, and how do we get that to people?
Yo, y'all, can you just feel, I'm sure you can hear her passion. Like, I'm in love. I'm obsessed. I'm so happy to know that there are people like you in this industry, that the industry is in good hands when it comes to all this stuff, that really care about it. Because I'm just like, and I'm thinking back to Baby Stevie with your aunt trying to sing the harmonies in Seasons of Love, and now you're working at the place that did the ad campaign.
I feel like there's barely a day that goes by where I'm not feeling absolutely blessed.
Yeah.
Like, some days are really hard and I'm tired or whatever, but I walk through those doors and I remember the people that started this company, the campaigns that have been in and out of this door, the things I get to work on, and I can't be sad. I can't be tired. Like, I'm ready to go. This is the dream. I'm living the dream.
Honestly, you are living the dream in a way. And I feel like you know what I'm about to bring up next, because, let me be very clear. This is the queen of Broadway opening nights. Not even just Broadway, off Broadway. Y'all should have seen our little shop too. The queen of opening nights. I'm saying everyone, I work a lot of them, but everyone I'm at, I swear Stevie's there because, like, she knows someone or she's working it and she's looking fly while she's doing it.
Oh, goodness.
So I don't know if we need to talk about your opening night experience, but, like, give me your most memorable opening night. How about that?
Okay. Of a show that I've worked on.
Yeah.
I would say we're going to talk about Beetlejuice again.
Shout out to Beetlejuice.
I think it was one of the shows that I had with me the longest, or, like, reverse. It was one of the shows that I had been with the longest in my time at Spotco. Like, I had started working on Beetlejuice before it opened in D.C.
Okay,
So that opening night almost felt like a well-deserved victory.
Yeah, totally.
Because there were some shows that I came on to, and it's like Pretty Woman, I started working in June, and that show opened in August. So I had only been working on it for a short time before it opened.
Sure.
But Beetlejuice, it felt like sort of the long process, and I had been through so many stages of the show that it just felt like we earned this. You know, that night, obviously, the crowd was electric in the theater.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I went to work a little bit in the war room, which just it means I'm just kind of like helping pull quotes and things. And then we got to enjoy the party, which was so fun. And it was really nice looking around and seeing the faces of people that I sit in meetings with and have to email and different things like that. Because it's like, look at what we did. Like, we are working together, blood, sweat, and tears. And now this show is open on Broadway.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you're always killing it at the opening nights. And I love to hear that you're so passionate about it. And I am curious, like, we don't talk about ad agencies that much in general when we're talking about Broadway. But on top of that, I do wonder about the diversity, the representation, the inclusion. Because a lot of the conversations right now in the mainstream have been about the bodies on stage, right? Of, like, representation there. Because if you can see it, you can be it. But now we've started to talk about directors and writers and producers a little bit. But I still feel like media, like, you know, people at places like Playbill or Broadway.com and ad agencies are still kind of left off the map. Company managers,
right.
Stage managers, general managers. And I'm just curious, you know, about your experience.
I just think it's very important to have diversity in an advertising agency. On Broadway, we're telling so many different kinds of stories. So I think it really only makes sense to have those diverse voices in the room to sort of help guide how that story is told and make sure that people who need to hear it are hearing it. And, you know, with what I do, I work with so many different people externally, people from different companies and all of these different things. And there's constantly sort of these brainstorms that are happening. We're kind of throwing things at the wall to increase advertising efforts. But there was one instance in which someone said something that was particularly racially insensitive. And, you know, there are times where I'm in these rooms and I'm the only black person. I'm the only person of color. And so I kind of walked away from that, like, external meeting feeling a little bit uncomfortable. But the next day, and it wasn't easy, but I reached out to one of my higher-ups who was in the room when it happened, and we got our COO, who is a black woman, involved in the conversation just to be like, look, this happened, and I didn't think it was right. And so they heard me. They went back and made it known to the person who made the comment. And then what I really loved is that they came back to me in a way of like, here is what we have. Like, here is the resolve. Because I think there is a moment where you can bring something up and you can say that something is wrong, and a person can say, okay, we'll deal with it. And that's the end of the story. But for me, it wasn't. And I was glad that they took the time to sort of come back to me to see how I was feeling about the resolution and everything like that. And I say all of that to say that I think we have a little bit of ways to go in terms of diversifying the room. But it was so nice for me as a black woman in an entry-level position to know that I was supported by
Absolutely.
My higher-ups, to know that they were willing to hear me and to give me a safe space to talk about how I was feeling, like to feel comfortable enough in an entry-level position. And not, again, I didn't want to come off as like angry or like complaining or whatever.
Sure.
But I was in a safe space to like flag it. And the way that they handled it, I will constantly feel that way. Like, obviously hoping that something like what happened never happens again, but you can never be sure. And so I will, moving forward, always feel safe enough. And that is another thing that I just really love about Spotco, is having the space to say, hey, like, I need to get this out. I need to say something, and I need to know that I'm supported in the way that I feel. And it was just such an amazing thing to feel supported, to feel heard, especially by our COO. Shout out to Aletha. She is just so, so wonderful. So yeah, diversity in agencies is so important. If we're going to keep telling these stories, we need the right people in those rooms.
You're making me emotional. I am tearing up.
Oh my.
As a Capricorn, this is not easy to get me to do, so congratulations.
Oh my goodness.
I can't wait for you to be the COO or CEO and also provide that safe space. And I really am. I'm so happy, because I know that does not happen all the time, that you get those safe spaces.
Truly.
And that you have this burden as a black woman to be like, oh, I don't want to seem angry. Mm-hmm. I don't want to this or that, and like ruffle feathers. And so the fact that you were able to be brave enough to do that is really impressive, and I hope empowering for a lot of people listening.
Yes, please, please, please speak up.
You know? And so then how, I mean, not that we're going to solve this problem tonight, but how do you think we can increase diversity, representation, inclusion in agencies?
We truly would love to see it.
We would love to see it.
I think it starts with people who are already in it.
Okay.
People who are inside of the industry. If you know someone who is a person of color, who is interested in theater, who is interested in advertising, when that door opens, chances are you're the first person to know it. Like, before any, and I don't know if this is a secret of jobs now, but like, before anything gets posted online, chances are everyone in the company knows that this position is open. So if you know someone who really wants to work in theater or what really wants to work in marketing, you can get that person's resume to the appropriate person before it even goes online.
Yeah.
And I think that is a big part. The people who have made it in, making way for people, for more people to be a part of it. I think for me, I didn't see any people of color working at Spotco before I started. And it turns out that there were a few, but I didn't see that, but I didn't let that stop me
okay.
from reaching out for that opportunity, because I was like, if it's not there, then I'm just going to be it. Like, I'm going to have to be that, and that's okay. So I would say for anyone who, in any position that you want to be in, if you don't see yourself, like, don't let that be the thing that hinders you from going after that opportunity, because you can be that person. So that way, when the next person wants an opportunity, they'll see someone who looks like them.
Yes.
And it will make them feel even more encouraged to go after that opportunity.
I feel that. You can be the pioneer or the trailblazer.
Truly.
What are some tips or advice? Like, how can... let's say this a different way. What are the skills you would need to be successful in Broadway marketing?
Yes.
Tell me, girl.
So there's the typical stuff. There's being organized, knowing how to multitask.
Being a Virgo.
It helps. I'm not saying it's a must. I'm just saying it helps.
Yes.
There's that. A passion for theater helps. I say that because, like, I don't think I could do what I do now for, like, cars or pharmaceuticals. Right. Like, I'm just not passionate about any of those things.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to be the biggest theater nerd. God knows I'm not. I'm still learning. But having a passion for the industry will help just motivate you on a day-to-day basis, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Networking is a huge thing.
Okay.
Get to know people.
I like it.
Getting to know people who work in different agencies, who do different things, like who are company managers, getting to know people in press, getting to know people in media.
Yeah.
Felicia Fitzpatrick.
Hi.
Get to know all of those people because, you know, you never know where you're going to end up. And you leave yourself in a really good place if you have contacts at other
right.
places.
Right.
And it also just makes the whole thing feel like a community if you're willing to network.
That's true.
And it doesn't have to be an icky, like, here's my resume network. It's just like, let's grab a drink. Let's get coffee. Like, let's just sit down and talk about work.
And, like, I think, honestly, like,
or not work.
Stalk people on Instagram. It's not that weird anymore. Or, like, Mark J. Franklin just came in and we were like, hey, Mark J. Franklin. And y'all got to meet. And it was, like, lovely.
Mark, I love your work.
Mark J. Franklin, we love you. I know you're listening right now. And I hope you're grinning ear to ear because you're an icon.
Wonderful.
But anyways, yeah, I think networking is a huge thing. And not being afraid to reach out.
That's my next little thing.
Are you for real?
And I called it. I branded it. Do not throw away your shot. I'm not even kidding, y'all. I told you, Hamilton was my segue back into Broadway. I listened to My Shot as I was applying for jobs. I had a little playlist.
I love it.
And it was like theater songs. And it was like top of my list when I was applying to jobs. Also, side note, fun fact, when I was walking into my interview for Spotco, I listened to Let Me Be Your Star from Smash.
As you should.
Because that was how I was preparing for the interview.
Yes,
and it went
ma'am.
Well, obviously.
Yes, ma'am.
But like, don't throw away your shot. I think that whole mood of that song is just like you're grinding for what it is that you want. And that's not to say that like your shot is like an opportunity that's been put in front of you, because I didn't have that before I made any contact at Spotco. I didn't know anybody at Spotco. No one was gonna hand me anything. They weren't gonna be like, do you want to work here? You just have to really put yourself out there in a bold way. I had to say, hey, I see what you're doing. I like what you're doing. Here's what I'm capable of. Let me be a part of this.
Yeah.
So make that opportunity for yourself. Just, you really got to boldly put yourself out there. And not even in a way that's cocky, but just don't be afraid to, like, swing for the fences, you know?
Mm-hmm. Y'all, this is, like, some good ass advice that you could be charging for. That's the thing.
Oh my goodness.
Y'all getting this for free. Okay, so it is time for the final two questions, but y'all give it up for Stevie Coleman one time. I'm like, I know I'm gushing like a fangirl, but that's because I am. So I'm happy you've been on this journey with me. The final two questions to wrap up the podcast are as follows. One, and you said you were indecisive, so this is going to be really interesting. If you could recommend a piece of Black art, whether it's a movie, a TV show, a book, an album, etc., for our listeners to take in, what would it be?
Well, you know, I came prepared with more than one, so I hope it's okay to cheat.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm not going to lie, I've been into Leon Bridges lately. He's a singer. His music is just, it feels so, like, cool and retro, and it just feels good.
Yeah.
He sings a lot about, like, love and relationships. I am single, but this is how I choose to prepare for Valentine's Day, so go me. But his music just sounds so good. Like, if I had to imagine, like, if there was an album of just, like, Black Love, the album, like, he would have a couple of tracks on there. Like, it is just, it sounds so good.
Okay.
It's amazing. My second, which I haven't seen, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw out there, The Photograph.
I'm so excited for
it. Yes. Y'all. Can I tell you why?
Tell me why.
Okay. I remember watching the trailer and I was like, this is a game changer, because it is, and from what I'm gathering, it is a story about two people falling in love, two black people falling in love, mm-hmm. and it is not about them being black. It's just people falling in love
right.
in the way that we have watched so many romantic movies about white people falling in love, also beautiful, but like to see a movie where like the plot does not hinge on the fact that they're black, and it's like the jokes probably don't hinge on the fact that they're black.
Right.
It is just two black people falling in love in the way that millions of black people have fallen in love. I am beside myself. I can't
so hyped
wait
for it.
To watch.
Yes.
It's
oh my God. Shout out to Issa Rae. Okay.
God bless. Thank
I'm
you.
I'm so excited for that. Yes, that's a great recommendation.
Go watch this weekend. I'm pretty sure it comes out.
I think Valentine's
next
Day.
Weekend. Next weekend.
So a week from today, y'all. Yeah.
Yes.
If you're listening on the day this is released. And then the last question. If you give a shout out to a fellow black artist, who would it be?
I had to give this one some thought. Okay. But I am going to shout out Jordan Fisher, as well as Roman Banks. This is a twofer.
I love.
And I'm just going to go ahead and put the little asterisk of any person of color who has ever played Evan Hansen.
Okay.
I know Jordan Fisher is pretty early on in his performances, if I'm remembering correctly, but when they announced him, I was just like going crazy. And also the first time that Roman Banks went on as Evan Hansen, it was like a huge moment. To see, I know that it can be a bit of like a controversial story, but to see a person of color, again, this is it, the story doesn't hinge on this being a person of color, and also like portraying a person with mental illness, struggling with mental illness, it's huge.
Yeah.
Because I think about like if a young Stevie had been able to go to Broadway shows, a very young, anxious Stevie had been able to see a black person playing an anxious teen on stage, like, it would have blown my mind. And the fact that there are generations who are being introduced to Evan Hansen, and, like, maybe it was Ben Platt, but, like, if you're being introduced to Evan Hansen through Jordan Fisher, it's still such a rich story, and now it's a person of color, and now we get to open up the conversation about people of color and mental illness, which is fantastic because we need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Hashtag psychology major.
It's true, yeah.
And I just love it. So to all the people who have ever played and who will ever play Evan Hansen and are a person of color, thank you.
Yes.
Also, side note, I'm going to say Cynthia Erivo because always Cynthia Erivo.
Hello.
I think she is so fantastic. I'm really rooting for her with the Oscars this weekend.
I know.
I want it for her. I want it for her so bad.
I want for her
She's
too.
She seems so cool. I don't know what I would do if I actually ever met her, but she just seems so cool. She's so talented. She's just wonderful and beautiful and just everything.
But like so cool and like relaxed. So you know, like you can have your energy too high. People have to be like, "What's up, Cynthia?" Like,
right.
Yes,
you gotta
nice
be chill.
You.
You gotta like sink into the seat a little bit, like slouch.
Exactly.
And then start talking.
And I loved your shout out to Jordan Fisher because hello him in Rent on Fox. The Elder is Mark Cohen, in my humble opinion.
Everything goes back to Rent or Beetlejuice with me, apparently.
It's true.
And that's okay.
But, like, I have to just take this moment to say, like, he did an inhale during that, it's the sad song during Act 2. I always forget the name of it. I think it's Goodbye Love. I could be wrong. I'm sorry. Take my Broadway card away. But he did this inhale, and, like, I still think about it, clearly. Like, I was like, yo, that was some fucking acting. So, shout out to Jordan Fisher. Totally here for that. Y'all, if you are as obsessed with Stevie as I clearly am, this is where you can follow her on social media.
Twitter, Instagram, basically everything. I prefer the consistency. At Stevie Coleman.
We love consistent handles, y'all. That is someone who works in marketing and ad life. You're a delight.
You're a delight.
I'm like, y'all, I'm beaming right now. I'm like twirling my hair. I'm like, oh, she's so cool. No, seriously, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. I will come back anytime you want.
Yes, please. We can have part two, part three, part four, it could just be a series.
Yes.
We don't even do parts. No, I really appreciate the work that you are doing for the community, in the community. And I can't wait to see where your future takes you.
Me either. You and me both.
Hey. Until next time, y'all.